Testing. Testing.
Someone they had contact with. Someone that hugged them or touched them or
all that. We distance out in public because of peer pressure. And we don't even know those people. We need to respect each other and love that other person enough not to expose them in case you are sick. I read one story, someone was coughing, and he does construction, and he thought it was just because of his work. Well, 17 more are now sick because he didn't know, and they didn't know, and they're all sick. You may have it and not know it. So keep it to yourself, okay? The young ones are doing it well. We're not. And we should know better, shouldn't we? Mm-hmm. Just a little reminder. Michael told me to be gentle this morning. I wanted to romp and stomp, but I'm not going to. He said, be gentle. And I told Janet that. She said, I've never known you not to be gentle. So I think that was a compliment. We love you, and we're trying to take care of you. That's all it's about. That's the only reason all this and the young ones aren't here, which I miss terribly because of all this. Just pray for things to get better. Our dear Father, we love you so very much, and we can't even get our minds around how much you love us. That you allowed Jesus to separate himself from you, to separate himself from heaven, and to come here and to be born a very humble birth and to live as a man with the temptations and the troubles and the trials that we would all have later. We thank you, Jesus, that your love was so amazing that you came here to give us your example and ultimately died on the cross and were raised by the Father. And someday we'll be raised also. Help us remember that we are already enjoying our eternal life. We already have it. And you've given us a guarantee, the Holy Spirit, of what you are doing for us and what you will do for us. Help us to enjoy our life here and help us to spread the faith. Help us to be good examples in the world and especially at home. Sometimes we hurt the ones we love the most. Help us be kind in our homes also. Help us to be more patient. Father, it is such a joy. And that sounds so little, the joy we have in our hearts of being your children. Having our sins forgiven. Being free from guilt. Free from worry. It's such a wonderful life that you have led us to. And we are eternally grateful for your example and for how you are transforming us to be better people. Help us never tire of doing good and help us know when we do good, it's Jesus living in us. It is not us. We have been bought with a price, a tremendous price. And our soul is worth so very much according to you. And help us to take care of our soul and protect our hearts and not be getting as close to sin as we can without going all the way. You tell us that you will give us a way out of temptation. We rely upon that. Help us, Father, when our faith is not as strong as it should be. Be with us through this trying time. Help us to be patient with each other and patient with others we come in contact with. Help us to share Jesus. Help us let Jesus' light shine in our lives. Help us be good examples at work, at play, everywhere we are. We thank you that we are allowed to partake of the Lord's Supper a little later. And help us remember that Christ's body that was hung on the cross for us, we helped put him there, our sins, put Jesus on the cross. He didn't die for the world. He died for each person and each soul in the world. So we help put him there. Help us always worship you in awe and reverence and not be too familiar with you. We love you because you have loved us first. And in our weak way, we try to love you back. Bless our time together and bless our week. Help us be praying for all those that are mentioned and will be mentioned, and for our missionaries and for the younger ones that we are missing. We just need your help every single day. And we thank you for always raining blessings on our life. Help us to always be thankful and mindful. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is a lot that can be said about what's going on in the world today. I'm not going to take this opportunity to get on my soapbox. We all have our opinions about issues, but I hope you are reading and understanding a lot about what this COVID virus is doing to the world. There's a lot of negative information that is being put out there. And I hope and pray that you are listening, that you are researching, that you are studying what is going on. It's not just the COVID that's going on in this world. There are individuals, and one in particular, and his name is Satan, Lucifer, the devil, that is at work in the world today. I hope that you are looking at this with open minds, and that we are praying each day that God touches the hearts of those individuals who are spreading false information. So, like I said, I'm not going to get on my soapbox and go through all this, but I put my trust in the Lord. I put my trust in God. I will not fear what is going on in the world today, because I know who is at work. And I know who is able to overcome what is going on in the evil today. Let's start with 509. 509. I will sing the wondrous story. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over, while the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. 286. 286. A wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, I want to believe it. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love, though you are far away. Wonderful story of love, still in your call today. Calling from Calvary's mountain, down from the crystal bright fountain, in from the dawn of creation. Wonderful story of love, wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love, Jesus provides a rest. Wonderful story of love, for all the pure and blessed, rest in those mansions above us, with those who've gone on before us, sing the rapturous chorus. Wonderful story of love, wonderful. Or across the page. 287. There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father.
Father, the God of all, we humble ourselves in thy presence to worship you, the true and living God, to praise and glorify your name. Father, you are the great creator of all living things. Father, you created this world for us to live in and for us to enjoy and to take care of. And Father, we pray for your guidance and your strength and your wisdom in all things. We pray that you guide our footsteps. The footsteps that your Son Jesus Christ walked upon this earth, that we follow in his footsteps and live according to your word and according to the life that he lived to be a shining example into the world. Father, we love you and thank you for all the blessings of life you bestow upon us. And we pray, dear Lord, at this time that you take the evil out of the world, that you touch the hearts of men, that you open up their eyes and their hearts and their minds, and Father, to realize that through you and in you, all can be accomplished. Not through the things that we do, not through the things that we say, but Father, through your will, and your will be done in all things. And Father, we pray that you forgive us when we fail you, that you grant us your strength and your wisdom, that we overcome those obstacles in life that keep us and separate us from you and your truth and your salvation. And Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, for the life that he lived, for the life that he gave on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And we pray, dear Lord, that in some way we can be a reflection into the world and be that light that Jesus was to the world many years ago. We pray that you be with those who are suffering discomfort and suffering illness and pain and injury. We pray that you heal their bodies and their minds and their spirit. Father, we pray that you be with those who are suffering loss of loved ones, that you comfort them during their time of grief, their time of sorrow, their time of loss. Father, watch over us each day of our lives, and we pray that we share with others what we receive from you, especially those who are less fortunate. Help us to share with them your word and about your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. 387. Tell me the story of Jesus.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell how the days that are past, how for our sins he was sent, that he was
He was Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He had pushed him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper with his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, makes intercession for the transgressions. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Pray. Father, we thank you that on the night you betrayed, Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and told them to eat in remembrance of him. We thank you for this bread that we have received from your Son. We thank you. We give thanks to you for this cup of remembrance. We give thanks to you for the blood of the new covenant which you represent us. We give thanks to you for the blood that washes away our sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mark Psalm 915. 915 is Psalm 3. Verse number 8. Now, for the sermon, 659. 659. I love to tell the story. So the first verse is what?
Be thou. Good morning, church. It's good to see you. I'm glad that you are here. At I'm used to, most of us are used to, going 3 days before seeing each other, and going 7 days is kind of tough. Going a whole week, it just it feels like every Sunday we come together and we're just having to rebuild from scratch, and I don't know. It makes the weeks very long. Before we get started in the message, I do want to share. I appreciate both Robert and Steve, and they're both right. Both absolutely right. That number one, we are taking steps of precaution to protect each other and any visitors that we might have. That's done out of love. That's not done out of fear. And Steve's right. The enemy's playbook is playing out all around us. And sneak peek, I promise you quarantine will not be the worst of it. So, yeah, read your paper, read your online news, but you better be reading your Bible. You better be reading your Bible. Because the current events are going to tell you what's going on out there and what he's doing out there, but God's word's the only thing that's going to keep you ready for it. So, keep those things together. And this morning our message is, it's an important one because We tend to put our faith in the form of Christianity instead of Christ. It's very tempting. It's very tempting. Mark was asking me this morning. I'll just put him on the spot. He asked me this morning. He said, "Hey, you know how you kind of take all the prayer requests at the end of the service? You tell us what's going on with the younger people, and you carry it on to them." He said, "Are you going to have to do that from now on?" I said, "Well, no, I shouldn't. I hope not." He said, "Well, we've done it 3 Sundays in a row, so that's kind of a tradition now." And that's really how we do things, isn't it? I mean, once we just start to do something, we lock it in. That's part of our faith, and we define Christianity as that thing. And so this morning's message is very important, that Christianity does not become for us something that we feel that we have lost because things look different now, or creating something new because things look different now. Our faith is in Christ alone. And that's why you keep reading your Bible, because Jesus encountered a lot of different people, a lot of different situations, and a lot of different circumstances. And his faith never wavered. But it's always amazing to see how fluid he was in going through this world. So I'm excited about it, and I hope that it encourages all of us today. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for drawing us together in your holy name, Lord. And our purpose here is to exalt you. Our purpose here is to lift you up in praise and song. Our purpose here, Father, is to commune with you and with our brothers and sisters. Our purpose here today is to be reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Our purpose here is to be re-equipped, to put our armor once again upon all parts of our spiritual life and be ready for the fight. Heavenly Father, we know that our enemy is not flesh and blood. And we know that our true enemy is using flesh and blood right now to make things look very difficult, to make things look very animus. Father, our hope and our trust is in you, and we will not waver. And we pray that you increase our faith. We pray, Lord, that whatever goes on around us, that we will not forget who you are and who you have made us to be. So let us be strong. Let us be humble. Let us be filled with love. Father, we looked in your scriptures last week, how you reminded us that when things get evil, in fact, I guess it was Wednesday night in Matthew 24, that because lawlessness will increase, the danger is not destroyed property. The danger is that many love will grow cold. That's our danger. Father, do not allow this to happen to our hearts. Do not allow us to look at our fellow man as the enemy. Do not allow us to be divided by Satan. You have given us the victory in Jesus Christ. And that's what we proclaim. That's what we hold on to. And that's what will carry us into eternity. Your name be forever praised through Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, go ahead and turn your Bible to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to start there this morning. You know, as the world changes around us, and the change and the pace and the differences just in a few months, it's kind of overwhelming. And I'm sure that there are just as many that have suffered directly from COVID-19. I'm sure there will be many more that are suffering psychologically and spiritually and emotionally. That this is not just a germ warfare. But as the world is changing so much around us, we have got to be confident in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have got to be confident in our trust that God remains the same. God remains the same. You can't look out your window, you can't read the headlines and say, oh no, well God didn't see this coming. Who could have seen this coming? Church, God saw this coming, and if you read your Bible, you can get a pretty good idea of what's coming ahead. Because we're in baby stages. We're not in a blip. We're not flattening the curve. We're at the beginning. We're at the beginning. So read your Bible. You can see it. God's not fooled. He's put his people in difficult situations always, because this is light and darkness. This is righteousness and sin. This battle that we're in. So being faithful, and for us to be faithful to God, to continue to hold on to the gospel in new situations, it may look different. It might. And I'm not talking about splitting up church services. I'm just saying that our faith, when the world around us looks different, our faith may look different. And so what that does is it forces us to focus on what our faith is truly in. Because if our faith is in the form, we're going to have a lot of people once things open back up and once we can get together. If your faith was in the form, a lot of people are going to say, no, I did without church the way I did it for so many years, and I survived it the last so many months without that. I don't need it. Well, we got to make sure that our faith is not in the form, that our faith is not in the how we are doing things. Well, We know this. We've all adapted to things all of our lives. I think about a couple examples. You've raised kids, and you know that at each age or each chapter in your kid's life, you had to adapt as a parent, right? I mean, you still kept your core beliefs, but you had to adapt in ways in which you dealt with them. I've got an adult son now. Well, I've got an adolescent son, but my son is very much trying to be an adult, and I am learning and adapting myself as a parent in how to relate to him as an adult and trying to help him on his way to independence and being out of my house. I've got a second son who got his driver's license this last week. And so we've done all the training and all the driving, and I know he's good because I was his teacher. So I completely trust him. But yesterday, he took his mother's car from our house into Lubbock to do something for the first time in the car by himself. And she was just, you know, she was a little, yeah. And I said, it's okay. He knows not to use his phone. When he gets into town, you've told him to text you. He'll say, Mom, I'm here safe. And then you've told him to text us when, Mom, I'm headed home. And so we have to adapt. So we're used to this. We know this to be true. I don't love him any less. I don't love him any more. Unless he has an accident in one of the cars. But the way that I relate to my sons as they have grown and as their lives have changed, it's looked different, right? I'm no longer worried about getting spit up on my shirt before church starts or who's going to rock, paper, scissors to change the diaper. Because I got the last, you know, ladies, you got the last 47, and he ought to change a diaper every once in a while. It changes. The form changes. But the crux of the matter does not change. And so I want us to take a look at that this morning. We know this from parenting. We know this in where we're at today. A lot of us, our work has been affected. And a lot of us are doing work, thankful to be working, but doing work in a different form. And a lot of us are learning, oh, okay, well, I don't really like technology, and I don't really know, is that camera still on? Is it recording? Can I walk around? Can I mute you? We're learning new skills, and we're learning new things, but we're doing the same thing. We're still trying to conduct business. We're still trying to serve and to help people. We're just having to do it with a different medium. Well, today, we're going to look at biblical freedom, okay? Not American freedom, biblical freedom. Because the fight that's going on around us, it will come down to American freedom. We're in a fight to what this country is going to look like in the next couple years. We are. It is. And so, again, check your sources. But I want us to be reminded of our spiritual freedom, of the freedom that Jesus Christ gives us. Because if we will hold to the core of our spiritual freedom given to us in Jesus Christ, then whatever it looks like or however it changes out there, you and I are going to be okay. You and I are going to be okay. And it may be more difficult. It may be harder. I'll be honest with you. We've enjoyed a pretty long period of time of peaceful practice of our faith and worship in public. We've had a good run. We've had a good run. And things may be looking different. And so if you and I are not holding on to our core faith, if you are not, and I are not holding on to God, it will be very tempting to be lost in the shuffle and be lost. In John chapter 8, Jesus talks about this freedom. Let's go down to verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him. Now, remember, these are God's people. They have believed in Jesus. They believe he is the Son of God. And so he says to them, if you abide in my word, you are really my disciple. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay. All right, that's pretty big, right? He shared something pretty big with us. If we live each and every day in God's word, we're going to know the truth. And if we know the truth, I'm sorry, we're going to be his disciples. His disciples know the truth. And when you know the truth, you will be free. All right, excellent. Excellent. They answered him in verse 33. Why? You ever wonder why people argue with good news? Right? I've got good news for you. Yeah, I don't know. So they do. They argue in verse 33. We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you can possibly say we will be free? All right, little history lesson. Which came first, the Abraham or the Moses? Which came first, Abraham or the Moses? Abraham. So God's people, the Jews, are saying, oh, you're telling us we got to be something different to be free? You're telling us we got to follow you to be free? We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been enslaved by anyone. Except those 400 years in Egypt. The exile, yeah, they, and the Romans, right? Church, it is so easy to fall into the trap of not seeing things the way that they actually are. And God's people here, they have believed in Jesus. And so Jesus says, fine, you've believed in me, you're one of my followers. Here's what it looks like. And they say, well, we don't need that. We don't need that. We're free. And I would have loved it, for me personally. I guess Mark would have loved it too if Jesus at that point just went into a history lesson and reminded them of all the times they have not been free. Now, I would have loved that. But the irony is thick. We can just get it through the story because Jesus is saying, you will be free if you follow me. And they say, well, we don't need to be How can you possibly say that that can be a future thing? We're free. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you're offspring of Abraham, but you seek to kill me because of my words. They don't find any place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Okay, he kind of ramps it up here, and we're not going to read into it. You can go this afternoon, you can go this week, and continue on, because he tells them, the father that you're following, that's the devil. So he lets them have it, because they said, well, Abraham's our father. And he goes, no, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham does. It's bloodline, name on the birth certificate, that's not identity. That's not identity. And then he tells them, he says, look, you're thinking, well, we're God's people, we're Abraham, well, let's whitewash Rome and Babylon and Egypt. We'll just ignore that part of our history. We're free people. And he says, no. If you remain in your sin, you are a slave to sin. Sin is what enslaves us. And that is what Jesus is saying. True freedom through the gospel that he is living, that he will die for, and that he will be raised for. True freedom is the only thing that actually sets us free. That's what we hold on to. As followers, as disciples of Jesus Christ, that is our freedom. That's what's important. That's what's key. I mean, again, and you want to make it headline news? Which came first, Jesus or 1776? We know where our citizenship lies. We know where our citizenship lies, and it better. Because we also know that there's only one king that's going to remain standing at the end. Because every other king and every other nation and everyone else will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. We're his disciples because we listen to his word. We trust him. We believe what he says. And we are set free from our sins. That's the freedom that we need. That's the freedom that we enjoy. That's the freedom that is good news that we share. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. Because when we take sin seriously, and that's what Jesus does with that whole discussion, he's trying to get them to take their sin seriously. And when we take it seriously, it makes our freedom all the sweeter, doesn't it? Hey, oh, amen. Because we take the Lord's Supper and I just hear the words of Isaiah and just realize everything Jesus has gone through because of me and my sin and my brokenness and the great lengths that God has gone through to provide me eternal healing, eternal freedom. He sent his only son. And so the apostle Paul will get in the act here in Romans chapter 1, and you know these verses, verse 16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He's standing up loud and proud. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I will not be ashamed of the gospel. That's my good news. That's my truth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, that is the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We are not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel's power is to save us from sin. And church, everybody needs saving from sin. You, me, them, people you see on the news, are government officials, our state officials, our city officials, heads of households, kids. We all need the good news. We all need the good news, and Jesus has died to make it good news. Now, Paul goes on in this chapter and he says, look, since we have this freedom, this is what we have freedom from. Go down to verse 28. And I'm taking one paragraph. You can read the before and after paragraph later and see all the other things. But he says there in 28, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. So they don't recognize God as God. There is no creator. There's no one greater than me. There is no invisible being up there somewhere that I must answer to. There is nothing bigger than myself. I'm here. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Since they had that attitude with God, God gave them a debased mind. They're fine. You don't want any part of me in you? Then you get what's left. And they ended up doing all sorts of evil and nastiness. Okay. So the evil and nastiness doesn't catch us off guard, right? I mean, we don't look around us today and go, oh, world's so evil awful. It's never been this evil awful. Wrong. Wrong. They were filled, verse 29, with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Sin is real. Sin is real. It has consequences. And so what Paul does here in Romans chapter 1 is he gives them the good news first. He says, here's the good news, and we all need it. Here's what it looks like when people deny the good news. This is the depths that they will sink into. So we're not surprised. We're not shocked. We're not blown away. But we are also not detached. Jesus said, if you're in me, you'll be free from sin. Church, if we're not in him, we're not free from sin. So we're paying attention. We're not paying attention so we can point the finger of everyone else, right? Because Paul would go on here in chapter 2 and say, oh, up. Those of you who are pointing the finger and judging everybody else, you're a sinner too. So be careful. Because, you know, Paul likes to talk about some meaty things here at the beginning of Romans, right? He gets into some dicey subjects. He talks about homosexuality. He talks about people using their bodies for things they should not be using their bodies for. Shameful things. He talks about all sorts of evil, and then he turns the table and says, oh, but you who sit there very nicely in your sinless life, don't you go judging, because you do the same thing. You do bad stuff too. That calls us all to a heart of humility, does it not? Approaching the one God from a very humble stance. This is a question of life or death. Look, when we refuse salvation, when we refuse this gift of God through Jesus Christ, we are slaves to all manners of righteousness. So our freedom, our true freedom, is the freedom from sin. The freedom from having sin control my thoughts, my actions, my words, my steps, my life. Freedom from sin that God gives us in Jesus Christ makes me free from death. I do not fear death. I do not fear anything that would lead to death. Why? Because I'm free. I'm free. When the ticker stops, when the brain stops firing, when the lungs no longer draw air, I will truly be free. Because this is, it's kind of a prison. Right? It ages. It hurts. It gets broken. So, we don't fear death because we are in Christ. That is our freedom. That is the freedom that God gives us. That's biblical freedom. That's what it is. So, how's it lived? Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, because we got to be careful with our freedom. Just like when my kid gets his driver's license, he's got a new level of freedom. Garrett's my homebody. He's... COVID didn't bug him at all. He did his homework in his room. He sat there. He wasn't sad. He texted his friends. He's a homebody. He didn't care. It didn't bother him one bit. For him, it was, so I don't have to mow the lawn today because, you know, COVID may be out. No, I said, no. So it really didn't bother Garrett. But freedom, the taste of freedom, even yesterday, he came home and he goes, Dad, that was kind of exciting. Because he went to town, he visited his brother, he came to Idaloo, picked up one of his friends, they went to Sonic and got a Coke. They went to the park and shot some hoops, and he just came home and he just, you know, he got that taste of freedom. He had that taste of freedom. He's like, wow, that was fun. He didn't care about those guys a week ago. They were his friends, but he didn't miss them. But now that he had the freedom to go where he wanted to. Church, our freedom that God has given us is kind of like that. It's kind of overwhelming. And we got to know how to live with it. We got to know how to treat it responsibly. We got to take care of it. And so Paul says here in Galatians chapter 5, here's how you live with all this wonderful freedom. Because sometimes when we say, oh, well, you know, because you've talked to people, I was baptized years ago. No, I don't go to church. No, I don't do anything good for anybody. But, you know, mom had me baptized years ago. I'm all good. I'm fine. I'm going to heaven. It doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter how I treat my freedom. Some people are under the impression that freedom can't be removed. Right? Uh-huh. Well, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul writes to the church, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So he says, look, Christ has set us free. To be free, do not allow yourselves to be put back under and paired or partnered with slavery. Don't do it. Church, our freedom in Christ is something we have to fight for. Okay? I mean, our freedom in this country has been fought over battlefields and domestic and foreign. We fought lots of wars in the name of freedom. And Jesus gives us a warning, Paul gives us a warning here and says, the freedom that Jesus has given you, you got to stand up for it. Church, our fight will not be, which side to join in what's coming. And that's tough because that's what we want to do. We want to pick a side in the wars of this world. Our fight is to make sure that our freedom in Christ is not lost. So he says, look, I, Paul, say to you, if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only what? Faith working through love. See, you got a lot of people that Paul's trying to help out, and they're saying, oh, well, yeah, you got baptized, so that's great, but you need to come do this. Now, they were trying to pull them back into the old law, and this, the Bible's written to a church at a time that's mixed up with the Gentile Christians who are new to the show, and then you have the Jewish Christians who, yeah, they've done the baptism, but baptism looks an awful lot like circumcision. Baptism looks just an awful lot like another law that we just have to follow to be God's people. And so these people who come from a pagan background come into this situation and they say, woo, we have freedom in God. We've been baptized. Our sins are washed away. And then you have the other side going, not quite. You got to do this. And Paul is warning them, you do not let anyone do that to you. You do not let anyone do that to you. You do not go back to slavery. You remain free. You stand firm. And he says, if you go back to slavery, then the freedom that you have received from sin is of no benefit to you. It's not going to help you one bit. What matters is faith working through love. We got to take them both, church. We got to take them both. We have to have strong faith. We have to have strong faith that I am going to be okay, that you are going to be okay, whatever happens. But we cannot allow the darkness around us to come in and just make our hearts cold. We must refuse to see our neighbor as our enemy. Because that's what's going on right now. Sides are being drawn. Sides are being drawn. And everyone is being scared. Are you scared of a virus? Nope. You scared of someone who looks different from you? Well, not yet, but maybe. I mean, that's all that's happening. That's what's happening. And come fall, there's going to be something else. There's going to be something else to be scared of. We got to choose. We got to choose. Are we going to live in fear? No, we're going to live in faith. But we are not going to allow our love to be tamped down. Jesus didn't allow his love to be tamped down. Jesus went to the cross knowing what he had to do. And while he is there in the very act of the most powerful love that we can possibly imagine, they are still needling him, poking him, making fun of him, laughing at him, calling him a fraud, challenging him. And through love, he allowed his body to be destroyed. Because in doing so, he was bringing freedom to everyone who would hear the good news. We are free. We are free from sin. We are free in Christ. How do I live with that freedom? Number one, I'm not yoked back to the old law. You're not doing that to me. And what is the old law? The old law, what they'd done to the law was, well, I'm going to do a bunch of good things and so God's going to love me. Nope. Jesus died for you. That's how you know God loves you. Guess what? Your crazy neighbor? Your the person that might hurt you or treat you bad or yell at you? God loves them too. And so, what if I have to stand in line and hear someone get mad at me? Well, am I going to be me or am I going to be Jesus? I mean, this is rubber meets the road, right? Am I going to continue to love someone that doesn't see things the way that I see them? Or am I going to be upset with them? Am I going to love someone whose faith is weaker than mine? Well, if you've read the Bible, you will. Because Paul said those who are stronger in faith have a responsibility to bear with the weaknesses of others. I mean, there's some of us in this room that don't agree on how we should be doing things or when we should be doing things. Okay. So, there's a lot of you in this room that don't agree with me on how we should be doing things. Okay, what am I going to do? Get mad at you? Run away? Stop? No. No. Faith working through love. We always have to look, and that's why we are in the scriptures constantly, because we are every day seeing fresh with new eyes that picture of love. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, hanging on that cross for us. And then coming back from the dead and looking at everyone who would dare follow him and say, you need to live like that. I've shown you. Now you need to do it. Well, it was dangerous for Jesus. Church, it might get dangerous for us. Well, in fact, wait a minute. Jesus said something about that, didn't he? He said, if they hated me, what do you think they're going to do to you? Yeah. All right, last one. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Our freedom from sin, and the great thing about this, and here's what we're going to get from Peter to close up this morning. Our sin, having been erased, having been paid for, the debt removed from our account, having that freedom from God allows us, and this is why he did it this way, it allows us to free up so much headspace and energy and vigor and strength to actually focus on helping other people. Because Christianity is not a religion of you and I just sitting here doing all these things or saying all these prayers or spending hours, you know, or, you know, reading alone up in a monastery or being 12 hours a day in prayer. No, no, no. We put our faith in Christ. He paid the price. We are saved. We are forgiven. So now we can be like Christ and we can get out there and love other people. That's why he did it that way. And so Peter helps us understand this in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's start in verse 13. Oh, I'm sorry. I said 13, didn't I? I can't change it now. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. But you just said I was free. I don't want to hear subject. No, that sounds a lot like slavery, right? Whether it be the emperor or king as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God. Uh-oh. I guess I better underline that one. This is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Okay, so God's will is that I show them my Bible and I outthink them and out-argue them and leave no room for anybody to have any other opinion. Nope. The only way to silence the ignorance of foolish people is to what? What does it say? I want to make sure yours is saying the same thing mine is. What's the only way to silence the ignorance of, or the ignorance of foolish people? Or the foolishness of ignorant people? What is it? What? What silences the ignorance of foolish people? Doing good. Doing good. You're all right because it's all in there, but let's look at the one sentence. The one sentence because we got to hear this. We got to hear this. How am I going to silence those who are ignorant? Am I going to talk their ear off? Am I going to convince them? He says, do good. Do good. And doing good will actually stop their ignorance. Oh, Michael, they'll never listen to me. They're gonna take advantage of me if I do good. Oh. That sounds familiar. Well, they might hurt me if I put myself in a position to serve and do good. Huh? They might. Following Jesus might get dangerous. It already is, church. Following Jesus is dangerous. Now, you and I haven't maybe tasted some of the extreme levels of that danger. Maybe they're not the toxic levels of that danger. But it's always been dangerous. So, he says, this is the will of God. You put to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. Now, in verse 16, he says, because we're not stopping at 15, 16 says, live as people who are free. Okay? We're free from our sin. We're free from our sin. We talked about this a couple Sundays ago. I believe I mentioned to you that it is very dangerous. Some of the things that have been done in the name of white guilt and apologizing for sins that you personally have not committed. No, that's not a free person. That's not one who has been forgiven of their sins. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's what a lot of people have done. It's unfortunately, in church and out of church, is, well, we need to apologize for the sins of others. No. No, we don't. Uh-uh. You live as people who are free. Okay. Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. I don't say, well, I'm free so I can just do whatever I want. No, I'm free to serve God. What does God look like? How did Jesus live? That's how I live. That's what I look like. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the emperor. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the emperor. Now, did you see those two verbs? Everyone and the emperor. You're not afraid of them. I would treat them just as good as I would treat anyone else. Love the brotherhood. Okay. All right. I'm going to be a little more giving of myself to you. I'm going to be a little more open to my brothers and sisters in Christ because you're my family. You're my family. So things are a little different. I'm going to fear God. I'm going to fear God. I'm going to realize and understand it's my confession that God is the ultimate word. God is the ultimate power. God is the only say-so. So I will not fear man, because all man can do is kill me. And after that, they got nothing. Fear God, because after death, God says, you can be with me or you can be cast out. So that's where fear comes from. That's the fan. Before Christ, we were all servants to sin. In Christ, we are servants to God. And what that does, being servants to God, benefits everyone around us. Church, that's what being the light's all about. That's what being a city on a hill is all about. And you get to do that this week as you go out and you serve. You are free from your sins in Jesus Christ. And you are free to be a servant to God. And being a servant to God, you don't have to worry about your soul, your heart. You are not ruled by sin anymore. Stay away from it. You're done with it. That has no place in your life. But you're now a servant of God, just like Jesus is a servant to God. He came here and he said, I must be doing the works of my Father. Makes sense that as his disciples, you and I would look at ourselves each and every day and say, I must be doing the works of my Father. That's who we are. That's who we are. So let's do it this week. Do not give up. Do not let go of your freedom. You live as free people. But you realize what your freedom is. It is not the Bill of Rights. It is forgiveness of sins. And realize that your freedom has been given to you through faith, by grace, through Jesus Christ, for the benefit of others. Jesus didn't come down here and die on the cross for himself. He did it for us. You are not called to go out and walk in his steps for yourself. You're not called to suffer for yourself. You're not called to be a martyr. You're called to do whatever it takes for others. So, that was good stuff. So, we're going to sing together. After we sing, we'll take an opportunity to share in prayer requests. If anyone needs to respond to the good news this morning, please let us know. And then we'll talk for a minute and let anybody know what we need to keep in our prayers this week or anything that is going on. So be of good courage, okay? Be of good courage. Be strong. But make sure that you are strong. Make sure that you're strong in what's real. All right? Don't put your hope in anything else, because anything else is going to crumble. We've already seen just this year a lot of anything else's crumble around us. The crumbling's not done. So let's make sure that our faith is in the thing. Let's make sure that our faith is in Christ, not anything else. All right, let's stand together and sing.
When we walk with God, Lord, in the light of what a glory shines on our way, while we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with love who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for the other way, we'll be happy in Jesus. But to trust and obey, not a shadow can rise, not a fly in the sky, but it's not quickly rising away.
What he says, he
Okay. I needed to put a few people on the spot this morning. Do you mind leading singing into July? You good with that? Okay. Not next week, but then after that? Okay. All right. Well, I'll take care of next week and then after that. I'm not going to be here next Sunday. My family is going to Missouri to see my my wife's parents. Her dad is, he's losing a lot of function. Right now I think he's on leg braces and crutches and his voice is not very strong. So we're going up there. We're going to leave Thursday. There'll be a Wednesday video. You won't miss any of those. We're going to leave Thursday and get back next Tuesday. And so I'll make sure that everything's taken care of for worship next Sunday. But if you would just pray for us just for a safe trip. Carson's not going. So it'll just be the three of us and just get up there and let Sonny spend some time with him because we've got to go up there. We've got to go up there Labor Day, I think. Her nephew's getting married. And so, just pray for her dad that he just has good days and for us to have a good trip up there. So I would appreciate that. So next Sunday, Mark said he refused to preach, but he said he'd be happy to talk to you. So next Sunday, Mark's going to talk to you. And, so if Steve is out, you'll be at camp too. All right. So we may get slim pickings. Norman, I did want to ask you, I just didn't get a chance. Will you do the Lord's Supper for the month of July? You do need to. Will you do it? All right. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. All right. So we've got those going on. All right, what do we need to announce? I have not heard with the Elams if anything's going on, or from Anna. So does anyone know anything? Okay, I have to check on them this afternoon. Okay, what else? Janet?
I heard from one of
the
students in Kenya.
Uh-huh.
On Thursday, he told me that his company had closed down, so he had moved from Mombasa back to his village.
Okay. All right, praise God. Praise God. So continue to keep the WBS students and just those that are coming to faith and those that are needing to be baptized. So we praise God that Michael was added to the kingdom. All right. Also, we get updates from Hui. Remember, Hui is in Imbituba. That's just kind of a new town. A little bit about an hour away from his town, and he is baptizing several people over there. He is doing a lot of Bible studies. He's baptizing several people and getting that church started there in that other town. So we want to remember them in Imbituba. Rex, what do you got?
I request prayer, thankfulness, and praise to God.
Praise God. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate that. That's fantastic. Praise God for that. Yeah, that was, I guess that was a couple Sundays ago when she came forward. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, Lisa.
So I answered prayers
like
Rex was saying. Enoch's
MRI came back. It's just a cyst. Okay. Oh, okay. It's just a surface thing under the skin?
Yes.
Praise God for that. So he will have upcoming surgery to have that removed. All right. Excellent. Okay.
But
Anything else?
I'm on prayers getting ready for camp. And next week, this camp is totally different this year. Lots of restrictions. And it's totally different now. In fact, we're probably on a camp at all. Period. All the others are canceled.
Okay.
They're on top of it. It's all going well.
Yeah, Sherry. Okay, Wednesday. And then, are you guys going? You guys going back down to?
We have our reunion.
Oh, the reunion's next weekend. Okay. All right. And Dale, will you be in charge of kind of holding the door open for us? Thank you. All right. Anybody else? Did I miss somebody? Rex?
Well, I've never given an update, but, it's been, 8 months. I think that the I've been doing the chemo all this time in hopes that I might be a candidate for surgery. So I can move the old gallbladder. Liver would spread. But the last that I've heard, last I know, my cancer markers are too high and they still refuse to do the surgery.
Okay.
And so that's telling this surgeon and maybe an oncologist that maybe that cancer spread, but they haven't been able to find it. And they test frequently. I mean, they've done brain MRIs. They just got through doing a chest, abdomen, and pelvic. And what I'm saying is, I'm just saying that. But that's my update. And man, I'm doing good. My head feels great. I got straight for about 5 or 10 minutes. But then I got rest for 5 or 10 minutes. But my head's good.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing with us, brother. Just letting us know kind of where you are, because we constantly pray. We constantly pray, but we just praise God with you that you're feeling good and your mind is clear. That's fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, we'll close in prayer. We'll make our way out. Just don't hang out in here, but let's fellowship outside. There's a lot more fresh air out there. And so, we can still spend some time and parking lot fellowship. So let's go to our Father in prayer and then have a wonderful week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together today. Father, I thank you for our brothers and sisters here at Sunrise. Father, we love each other and we love loving each other. And I thank you for the wisdom and the care and the love that is in this body. Father, I thank you for the faith that you have given us, and I pray that you just increase it every day. I pray, Lord, that we will live free, that we will know that we are not enslaved to our sins. And I also pray, Father, that you help us use our freedom to be your servant and to help those around us in real ways. Father, we know the enemy is hard at work. It's just become quite evident and very visible. We pray that you prepare us for whatever comes our way. We pray that you bind Satan. We pray that you work in the hearts of all those around us, that you work in the hearts of everyone in this country that we live. We ask that you watch over our leaders at every level as they make decisions. And we pray, Father, that people will open their ears to the truth. We pray that the gospel will be sent out to all places, so that just as you have woken us up, opened our eyes, and saved us from our sins, that we will take the news of Jesus with us wherever we go, so that more people may hear and believe and be saved. Father, we praise your name. And we just ask that you watch over those that aren't with us this morning. I ask that you be with Anna and just watch over her. And I pray that you be with the Elams. And we just pray that you will take care of them all and get them back to us. That you be with Bill and Kathy, and that you just watch over our number that are not with us this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Father, we praise your name for all the good news that we got to hear today. We thank you for Michael being baptized. And we pray that you strengthen him in his faith and watch over him as he looks for the work that he needs. I pray that you be with the WBS students who need help in getting to baptism. And I pray, Lord, that you light up the path. We thank you for their willingness to follow you. And we know, Lord, that you will send the help that they need. So we pray that you send it on angels' wings right now. Heavenly Father, I lift up Sonny's family and I just ask your blessings for them. Please watch over us as we travel to them. And we just pray that whatever we need to do to get there and to be there, that we'll look out for him and we'll get to enjoy some time with him. Heavenly Father, I ask that you be with Mbatuba and the new believers there and who he working there. And I just pray that you be with this church as they get going, that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we join in the celebration with Joe and you providing and answering prayers and just so quickly providing her the job that she needs. Give her your strength to do the best that she can there. Heavenly Father, we praise your name for Enoch having a cyst and it being outside the skull, and we just pray that his surgery to remove this will go well, and we thank you for looking out for him. Father in heaven, we lift up Romeo's family right now, and we just pray that you will fill their hearts with peace. We pray that the funeral for Roy Tuesday will be a good time to remember, to share, and to love. And please watch over their family members that are traveling and those that are coming in for that. Heavenly Father, we lift up camp. And we just pray that it will be good. We pray that it will be healthy and safe. And we pray, Lord, that these young people and our teachers and our adults, that this week for them will be a blessing and will be powerful and mighty in their lives as they are creating their foundation to be free in you through all eternity. Heavenly Father, we lift up Steve and we just pray that you bless him in his stress test this week. We pray that if answers need to be found, that you give him those answers, and we just pray that you bless his health and just watch over him and just give him what he needs to continue to be strong. Heavenly Father, watch over them as they travel this next weekend and give them a good trip and a good visit with their family. Heavenly Father, we lift up Rex and we just praise your name and just thank you for his mind being clear. We thank you for him being here with us, and we pray, Father, that you lower his markers. We pray, Father, that you find what is hidden from all the experts and you take care of it. We ask for continued healing in his body. We thank you for his faith and his strong example. And we lift up Becky and we just pray that you watch over her in getting around, that she does so safely, and we just pray that you alleviate her pain. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for providing for us, Jesus Christ. We love you. We ask, Lord, that you come quickly. Because a little bit of what's going on in this world is scary. But more than that, we ask that we will trust you for however long that we are here. We know that where we will end up, we know what our finish line looks like, and we know that you hold all things together. So we pray that you work in this world right now. We pray that your light will be seen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.